This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-50 all-wheel drive, only $249 a month. Or buy and get 0.9% APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN SN316458. MSRP 32295 and 33125.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the best basketball party anywhere.
Anyone getting a sports woody?
I don't know.
Live from the Stadium Sports Bar at Allen A Sportsbook, George McCoy and Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents a fan madness edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue. Hurt and missing work? Insurance companies acting like jerks? Don't call your mom. Call George McCoy at warrenallen.com. Allen A, make every buzzer beater, bracket buster, and Cinderella run mean more at Allen A Sportsbook. Fan Madness is also brought to you by Video Only, where you always get the best deals on top-rated brands of TVs and home theater. And by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Enjoy responsibly. Fan Madness from Alene on 1080.
The slipper still fits!
The Fan.
Oh, hey, what it do?
What's
up? Opa!
Are we opine?
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Are you familiar with the Opie cheers?
I am Greek.
That's not Greek.
Damn it.
That's Japanese.
Oh.
We cheers to
Japanese.
We cheers to Opie in our house,
and that
means it means up tops.
Oh.
So
yeah, I'm pro up tops.
Yeah, so it's fantastic that whenever we go out, like as a family, and we're at a place and we cheers, we always cheers Opie. And once in a blue moon, someone will know what that means, and it's the reaction is fantastic. So yeah, we cheer to up tops in this family.
Isn't it?
So when you dropped that,
when you're in the, like when you used to be at the old, was it the Greek cuisine, and they'd break the plates and all that?
Yeah.
Didn't they say Opa?
Yes.
Opa.
It might be Opa. Opie.
Yeah. I'm saying Opa, not Opie.
Opa. You sound like you said Opie.
No. Opa.
Opa is Greek.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's Opa in Greek?
Is an action word in dancing. It is equivalent to saying go or one in dancing.
One.
So we stay in sync with the beat.
I'm number one.
So if you it's dancing, and if you it's up tops. No offense to the
maybe
Greeks,
that's
but
dancing too.
I feel like Opie is better.
What if we start a movement to change all when people smash plates and stuff at Greek restaurants?
Yeah.
We get them to start saying Opie.
It's better. Why would you want to cheat? Why would you want go when you can be up tops? It's fantastic. It's my favorite cheers. I was looking for something because I've always done the Scandinavian, the skull, which is the Scandinavian Viking cheers. But once you started cheering to Opie, you really can't cheers to anything else.
Opie!
And that's a Tom Hanks. That's thanks to Tom Hanks. That's how that whole thing came about.
I love Tom Hanks.
Well, have you ever seen Bachelor Party?
Yeah, but it's been years.
Yeah, so that's old school Tom Hanks when he was like, he was a crummy, like, comedic actor. He had yet to become Tom Hanks. And in that movie, they're toasting at the bachelor party, and they're trying to figure out what to toast to. And Rudy, the dirty mechanic, they're all trying to figure out, and he just goes to big T's. So that was always one that I had. And when the BTJ found out that that's what I cheers to, she decided to class it up a little bit by going with the Opa.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, so it kind of was this evolving thing to where we can still cheers up tops, but in a classy Japanese fashion.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah.
Well, we're here at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Alen-A yet
Speaking
again.
Speaking of classy.
Today. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the place.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, you here, too. I mean,
yeah.
You're a
well,
silver fox, but this,
I'm back.
This place.
Yeah,
yeah, they
so,
let you back in.
Yeah, well, I didn't cause any problems yesterday.
As far as you know.
For the most part. we're here, for day two of Fan Madness, courtesy of George McCoy, Warren Allen, attorneys at law. So, and Coors Light, and video only. I guess they have Coors Light buckets again today.
Yes,
so if you want
specials.
Coors Light bucket. There's a lot of bros standing around watching watching ball.
Yeah.
And they're drinking their beer.
Well, this Carolina game's getting tasty.
Yeah, so Carolina was down 20.
Yeah, they're getting drilled.
By Ole Miss. And it is now a four-point game.
Yeah, with like under five to go.
And the crowd is fired up. Now, North Carolina, six-point game, 65-59 Ole Miss. I think North Carolina was favored. I didn't bet on this game. But
they were favored?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were favored, which is wild.
Yeah, but, I mean, because that was the whole North Carolina doesn't belong in the tournament.
The Ole Miss bettors are sweating it out at the moment, like I did. I just had my first bad beat of the tournament.
Yeah, Carolina minus 1.5.
Yeah. So I had a bad beat.
What you got?
On my way in. First one of the tourney.
What hit you?
Well, the kid from St. Mary's. I had St. Mary's minus 4.
And St. Mary's did win.
They won, but they were terrible.
Yeah, it didn't
Can
look
I
good.
Just tell you?
Talk to me.
That team sucks.
Even though they've moved on,
dude, they're,
and your
they
Jayhawks
ain't going,
have not,
they ain't going
it's
anywhere.
St. Mary's that sucks.
Hey, they beat Vanderbilt, who also sucks. But listen, St. Mary's at one point, do you remember the West Coast Conference tournament finale?
I do. It was the worst.
Yes.
That game against Gonzaga might have been the ugliest game ever. I'd have to look it up, but Gonzaga basically had the worst offensive
yes.
stat line of
yes.
a team to ever win a conference title game.
Correct.
Ever.
They shot like
10% from behind the three-point line.
Well,
and yet they beat St. Mary's.
St. Mary's in that game was 0-for-16 from three.
Yeah, it's not good.
So that was the last game they played before today. At one point in this game, they were 2-for-17 from three. Wait a minute. They were 2-of-33 from three. That was their run.
Was
they
their
were
run.
Down 12, yeah. And all of a sudden they started making everything. What did they end up shooting
ended
from three
up
today?
7-for-25.
7-for-25. Yeah, they were 2-of-17.
And
so
by the
they
way,
finished 5-of-8.
66% from the line, too, and 40% for
yes.
the entire game. Which is why some people, when you kick college basketball in the nuts, I hate that bashing, but I understand if you watched a game like that and you said that's indicative of the sport, it's not great. That's not really...
Well, there's some ugly stuff out there.
There is.
Make no mistake.
Yeah.
Neither of those teams are worth a damn.
No.
But...
They're not going anywhere, but
so
St. Mary's
here's what,
won.
What ended up happening was St. Mary's was down 12. They battled all the way back and go up 5.
The spread was 4.5.
I had them at 4.
Or 4.
St. Mary's minus 4, and with 20 seconds left... They foul the big dumb oaf who can't shoot free throws. No, they were up 2, sorry. And St. Mary's, they fouled the right guy.
Sure.
The guy missed one, made one, so now they're only up 3. So I'm thinking, hey, this is great. Vanderbilt's going to miss because they lay more bricks than freaking St. Mary's does.
Yeah.
They're going to miss, foul. I just need one free throw to tie,
and
2 free throws to win. Ball game. Nay. Here's what happened. St. Mary's up 3, 20 seconds left. They chuck a 3, brick it, get the rebound, screw around, chuck another 3, brick it. St. Mary's gets the rebound, and what happens? They don't foul them, and the clock runs out.
That is a bad beat.
God!
That might be on a Van Pelt sort of bad beat right there.
I mean, just foul.
Bless America.
If he fouls, all he's got to do is make one,
fine,
I push.
You're good.
They ain't making a prayer 3 at the,
No.
Anyway, I'm over it.
Sorry for
you. As
you
can tell.
Sorry. Yeah, you're clearly over it.
As you can tell, I'm over it.
Well, speaking of Vanderbilt sucking, the Lady Ducks are playing Vanderbilt out at the Dukies court.
Do they suck too?
I don't know, but there's 9 people there. They got to play these.
I mean, I don't know. I see a lot of Duck fans there.
Yeah, 9 of them.
There's a lot of green and yellow. What are you talking about?
Look at this.
Well, okay, so that side of the court, not so much.
There's no one there.
Behind the bench, there's a bunch of Duck fans.
I don't think that's Duck fans. I think that's Duck family.
Well,
they've
okay,
got to play these early round games. They got to play them at home courts. I feel bad. Like Oregon makes their way into the tournament and they have to fly to North Carolina to play in front of six people. That needs to be, just put it on the lower seats court and do it that way. Because there is, I mean, look, there's a times you watch the first round of the NCAA men's tournament and you can get some spotty crowds for some of these games, but my Lord, like sometimes they scan the women's crowd and I don't know how you have any juice in that building to play.
Well, there's no juice, but they're used to that.
Ducks, by the way, 21-17 in the second against the Lady Commodores. What is a Commodore, by the way? It's some sort of sailor, because isn't their mascot, and only have like a, it's like a guy with like a Napoleon hat. Does anyone know what a Commodore is?
I think it's a ferret.
Well, I always think of the Commodores like, I think of like the R&B group.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Commodores.
That'd be cool. They should name teams after cool bands like Quiet Riot.
You could do a lot worse than having the Commodores and then your mascot just be like a giant paper mache Lionel Richie.
North Carolina is going to the free throw line to cut this to three.
Ooh, let's go. With what? A minute?
Got 109 left.
Yeah, I got a man down, though.
Yeah, RJ Davis is hurt. Looked like it hurt his little bottom.
Well, that was Steph bruised his pelvis last night.
Saw that.
Missed some time.
Yet another NBA star hurt.
It doesn't matter.
Is anybody healthy?
Yeah, the Blazers, because they're on their way to the play-in. Did you see Robert Williams is out with another knee surgery?
Yeah, he's out again.
Yeah, that's...
Does he even play, really?
Well, he plays in between surgeries.
Is he really a basketball player? But I'd say that being an NBA player is the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean,
and I'm sure his knee hurts him and everything, but
yeah.
I mean, they're guaranteed money.
Guaranteed
sit
money.
Sit on your ass. How many games has he played?
Not many.
And how much money does he make? $10 million? $12 million? $20 million?
Let's look and see what old Robert Williams has.
A year. $1 million a year. Of course, I'm over this too now.
You seem very...
All my grievances today.
Is this simply because of
the tournament.
The bad bet?
Or
is this
Kansas.
The Kansas?
It's Kansas, and it's the bad bet. Yeah. And now I'm kind of sweating Maryland a little bit. Yeah. I got them, and they're only up 15.
So since 2018, he has played in 32-29, 52-61, 35-6-20.
He's played 26 games in two seasons?
Yeah.
What a loser. And how much how much is he making?
Boy, you are salty today. Well, I did see that Kansas joined a prestigious rank as number one teams preseason to lose in the first round. And
no.
Did you see who they joined?
No.
Kansas.
Oh, yeah, five. Isn't it five?
No.
Kansas team? I think I read that the last five times Kansas has been preseason number one, they did not reach the Sweet 16.
Oh, well, the stat...
0-5.
So what I saw is only two teams, and by the way, whoever did this, it was kind of a jerky move. It said Kansas becomes only the second team to be preseason number one and not get out of the first round, and then it said it joins Kansas. And I thought that was kind of a low blow.
Well, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
You got to own it.
But I feel you're very salty today because of that.
Well, look... They got beat.
Yeah.
In the worst way possible. Yeah. Crapping it down their leg.
It wasn't good.
It was terrible.
It was bad. I'm looking here that old Robert Williams is, looks like he's making about 13 and a half. Yeah. 13 and a half million. Does that make you more or less salty? The look on your face right now.
Well, I mean, that's not terrible, I guess.
13?
As contracts in the NBA go.
But he plays like 90.
If he played, that's a steal of a deal.
That is a steal of a deal, but he doesn't play. So.
What a little bitch. All right, well, we got Rusty back at the control room there because Buck is out in Hawaii. I wonder if he's there yet.
Oh, yeah, I would assume so, right? He left it, I think he said
he left this morning.
Yeah, like early in the morning, so, yeah, he's probably there by now.
And then we got Ortner, who is on his, flying in the private, private jet.
I thought it was a chopper.
Back to the studio right now.
Yeah.
To be there by 4.
Ortner's a machine.
To take over. He is, because he hosted the midday show.
That guy will do any job known to man.
Unbelievable.
Anything at all.
All right, well, let's get to going here. I've got audio.
I like audio.
Will Wade may have a point.
Really?
Yeah.
Slimy ass Will Wade?
Yeah, I think you're going to like him after hearing what he says.
I know what he said. And the answer to that question is no, I don't like Will Wade. He seems like a giant doucher, but every now and then a doucher does make a valid point, and I think he had a valid point here.
He said the right thing.
He did say the right thing.
Oh, we got a lot of Rebels money in the house. That scream was for the Rebels hitting a shot.
Yeah, they're up by five now with, what, 52 seconds?
A lot of Rebels money out there. All right, we'll be right back. We are out here at Fan Madness, courtesy of George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Stadium Sports Bar at A&A Sportsbook. Come join us. We'll be right back on The Fan.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Stadium Sports Bar and A&A Sportsbook, George McCoy and Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents a Fan Madness edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue. Also brought to you by Video Only and by Coors Light. Fan Madness from A&A on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Nice to have you along. I did just learn that there is a fan blackjack table.
Yes.
Over there.
And apparently it's being kind.
Yeah, I guess they're all winning.
Yeah.
Ryan Cooley was pissed because he's our GM.
Mm-hmm.
He was pissed because there was not a seat at the table for him.
Well, it was
and
hot.
All the stacks were piling up, mm-hmm. and it was all fan employees at one table.
When you got a hot table, man, you got to fight for the right to feed at the trough. On the plus side, look at salesman extraordinaire Kurt Ludwig.
Yeah.
Already well into the bag.
Oh, yeah.
And the show is just, look at him. He has no idea.
He's trying to keep it together.
He's just got some glossy-eyed stare. We're doing some random finger pointing now. Way to go, Ludwig.
Yeah. It'll get worse.
He's an all-star right there.
Just wait.
Yeah.
So
we're in good hands.
Who's over at the fan table? Is it Chuck from accounting? We got Dave, the sales guy who runs a lot.
Yeah.
Who else is on that table?
Sam Tung.
Sam Tung. He's
general
our
general sales manager.
Dr. Tung. Who else? Joe Fisher.
The great Joe Fisher.
Famous Joe Fisher over there.
How about that?
Who's winning the most money?
You're asking Ludwig questions right now. Look.
You did? Oh, you backed it. How much you win? Up $250.
Tasty.
$250,000.
You should probably stop asking Kurt questions because he's getting confused. Look at him.
He's like an old man.
What?
Let's get you another cocktail.
Yeah, there you go. That Huckleberry Bourbon Lemonade, I think, needs a refill. Bartender, we need a topper over here.
So Will Wade is headed to McNeese.
No, Will Wade is at McNeese.
I mean, he's headed to NC State.
So Will Wade isn't going anywhere right now. He's got a tournament to go win.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, he was on some stupid show with a bunch of bros.
He's on some stupid show.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I don't know. Some show. And they had him on after they beat Clemson yesterday.
Yeah.
And
it was the biggest upset yesterday.
Yeah, I thought this was great, what he said. Because how many times do we criticize coaches for just not owning the fact that, you know, you're leaving.
Yes.
You're going to a new job.
And so there is a report that Will Wade is the next coach at North Carolina State. It obviously hasn't been signed yet, but everyone knows. And normally this is around the time of the year where we'd get the Will Wades of the world that would say, well, you know, I'm focused on my team right
now. Exactly.
You know, I this is a great group of guys, and I don't want to be anywhere else, and I'll worry about that after the tournament. And that's a load of crap. And so, yes, as much as Will Wade is a douche, and he is, look at what he did at LSU, this was one of the more refreshing things I've seen in college sports in a while.
People, obviously, we're talking about how is all the recent speculation about you and NC State going to affect your players? Would it throw them off? You know, how did you handle this with your players as you led up to the game?
We talked about it. I mean, we were in practice when all that happened. And you guys know. I mean, look, you interview for a job, and then your attorneys deal with their attorneys. It's not like I'm talking to people every day. I mean, we were in practice at Brown, and Mike Martin, who I've known since I was in the Ivy League, he came out in practice and said, what's up to me? He's like, hey, you know you're trending on Twitter. So what the hell am I trending on Twitter for? He's like, oh, they said you took the NC State job. I was like, oh. And then I got back to my phone. I had like 300 text messages. And so, I mean, look, that had nothing to do with it. When we got that night, I sat down and talked to the team. We had already talked on Saturday. And I mean, we're honest. I mean, shoot, half the kids I recruited, hey, look, the goal is to go Power 5 after this year, and some of you guys can go with me. And some of you guys, you know, I mean, so we all know what's up. And, I mean, our guys, this was great for them. They're going to have a lot of schools in their DMs tonight, too, looking to pick them up, pay them. So it's a good thing about
it. What we can say. That's what we can say. What is up, though? Hold on. We all know what's up. So fill me in exactly what's up.
not. I'm just saying. I mean, we all know the deal. I mean,
he
the coaches
just won an NCAA tournament game.
No. Here's what I mean. Coaches, you get an opportunity. You know, when you win, to move, and players, when you get an opportunity, you play well, they get a chance to move. I mean, it's the free markets at work. That's America. So, it's I'm happy for everybody. But hey, we want to keep this going, and we've got a great thing going, and see if we can keep this going another week.
Okay, there he is. I don't know if you caught all that, but
yeah, it was a little jumbled there in the middle. But
he was breaking up.
There was a. I thought that was the most honest answer.
Yes,
and I don't know why more coaches won't just take the honesty as the best policy.
Right,
because it is basically if it was a little garbled there. Will Wade basically said he interviewed for a job. The reports are that he's going to get the job. And he basically went to his players and said, we all know what time it is. This is good for me. It's going to allow me to move up. And he told the players, some of you are going to come with me. I can bring you to a better school.
Yep.
And for those that don't want to go with me, by continuing in the tournament, you're going to have NIL options or other schools are going to come find you. And I do like that under this new system, and some people may hate the fact that it's this mass transfer portal and teams getting gutted, but there is an element to now that I think most players, unlike the olden days when you thought, like when I signed at BYU, I thought I was going to be there for 4 to 5 years and I would have roughly the same coaching staff, right? There was a lot of stability there. I don't think anyone really does that anymore, especially in the world of college basketball. I think when you sign with a place, you understand, you know, that is a year-to-year sort of thing. It's year-to-year for you. It's year-to-year for the coach. And it is a matter of what is the best situation for us individually and what's the best financial situation. And hopefully the smart teams realize that when you come together and you play great and you go on one of these runs, that's how everyone maximizes their opportunities and maximizes their money. And so for Will Wade to come out and say that, amen for not doing the whole I don't know, we'll see what happens.
Well, it's a good point.
Yes,
and probably one that people hadn't considered in this new era of college sports, that when a coach leaves a McNeese to go to
NC State,
that's actually good for pretty much every player on his team who's worth a damn, because some of them will go with him and others will have other offers elsewhere.
Yes, and the ones that stick around and that have a great tournament run and do choose to stick around, there's more money waiting for them in NIL.
Yeah.
So this is, I just think that the college basketball especially, but football as well, it's just changing. I don't know if it's any better. I don't think it's any worse, though. But I do think it's changing and evolving, and there's nothing wrong with that. As long as we have a bit of honesty and we stop trying to pretend that this is 1984, and we get these old coaches, you know, or the old commentators that are like, well, back in my day, we stayed, and it was about the program, and it was more important than the individual. Well, cool for you. It's not 1981 anymore. It's time to evolve and move on, and you said it best. Everyone at McNeese off of this run will benefit from Will Wade on down. The better they play and the deeper they go will benefit every single member of that team. And there's some intellectual honesty going on. That way, knowing Jonathan Smith style, and that's what like bothers me, is when Jonathan Smith knows a month to go in the season that he's going to leave to take the Michigan State job, and he slow plays his guys. You just got to come out at that point and be honest with your guys and be like, hey, man, I interviewed for a job. It's a great opportunity. I don't know if I'm going to get it, but if I do, this is the reality of what we're dealing with, and we can choose to rally around me, and some of you can choose to come with me. We can try to finish this thing off the best way we can, or if you guys want, you guys can go in the tank. I actually think it's better to tell your players that, because the message to your players is, this is your one opportunity we have as a group. Why do we want this to go in the toilet? Why can't we use this as a rallying cry and say, hey, one last time together, we're going to go on a run and defy some odds?
Do you think it's better for basketball than football, though? Because football affects so many more people.
Yeah.
Staffs and players.
Yeah. I think that the basketball, the fluidity of it is, it's more chaotic, but I also think there's more opportunity to change. One or two guys for a football program really don't make that big of a difference. It really is more about the collection of that you can get. Whereas in basketball, look at Drake, right? I think Drake is starting four Division II players that came with the coach, and a guy that couldn't make the rotation at St. Mary's, and yet here they are, right? Football, that's not really the way you do it. So Football, I think there does need to be more stability. It behooves you. But in college basketball, I just think this is kind of the model. It really becomes a year-to-year sort of thing, and you're going to have to learn to adapt to it. I mean, one of the things that Kansas is going to have to deal with is, you mentioned it, Kansas hasn't necessarily always been a big transfer program. They're more of a culture-building program. So Bill Self may have to adjust of getting four or five new players every year that he's not used to, but you better figure it out because that's kind of the way college basketball is going.
Well, it's almost like a new skill set.
Yes.
I mean, so I listen to Self's press conferences because he's damn entertaining.
Yeah.
And so I've heard him talk about this several times, and he says it's just different to have to try to make it all work with such different puzzle pieces. Yeah. Like this year specifically, he has three guys that have been there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Like, they're Dwan Harris, their point guard, has played more games, I think, than anyone ever in college ever.
Yeah.
He's been there the whole time. But he's also incorporated, well, Dickinson was there.
But he came from Michigan
last year.
And then you had the South Dakota State kid and the Wisconsin kid,
right? But then he incorporated three more transfers, yeah, all wings, you know, and he admitted, he's like, mm-hmm, this is just a different,
yeah.
He didn't do a very good job of it, first of all, and he's admitted that.
Yeah.
They just it hasn't worked out that well this year, but that doesn't mean he won't be better at it moving forward. But yes, it's almost like who's a good coach, mm-hmm, and what it takes to be a great coach has changed.
It's evolved, absolutely.
And that, I think that's a lot of why you've seen the Boeheims and the Roy Williams and the, you know, the Coach K's and the...
They're out.
Jay Wright, even. He left before... Dude, that guy wasn't even 65,
that dude
was
saw
he?
The writing on the wall and was like, this
he
isn't
He doesn't me. Want any part of that.
Because so many of those guys, again, are culture builders, right? It's
Well, especially Villanova.
Exactly. The old guys teaching the young guys and bringing them through and then, you know, kind of having that system that you play in, or with Syracuse and the zone defense, right? It's like that is ingrained in you. And when you have to change over players that are used to doing things different ways, and look, I'm a dinosaur and I played a different sport, but the best year that I ever had at BYU, the year we went undefeated, was because we had, it was continuity. We, especially as an old line, we had played together for basically 3 to 4 years, everybody, and our depth pieces, and we had kind of grown and taken our lumps. And those guys, it was the funnest I ever played, and it was the most continuity I've ever had playing, and we were so good as a unit, certainly better than our parts, even though we were pretty good. And now I look at like Oregon or what Ohio State or these programs have to go through, where you're incorporating four basically new offensive linemen every year that are penciled in as starters. I'm telling you, you have to find an O-line coach that can adapt to that, because for me as a player, or me coaching that, I can't imagine,
yeah,
the challenge with the and think about this, in college, the limited amount of time you have to practice and be with those kids. I mean, it's an entirely new world that you're having to figure out at these two sports.
Well, how many new O-linemen did Oregon have this year?
Yeah, well, I mean,
was it two or three?
Yeah,
was
so
it two?
Well, all the interior guys. All the interior guys.
And look at the start of the season.
It was a
little rough.
Absolute mess.
It was a little rough.
And then once they got it figured out and they shuffled some pieces around, it became a really, really good unit.
One other thought on this. I wonder if, like, when you're Dana Altman, I wonder if you can start looking at this and going, well, okay, I've got a kid on the hook from, well, let's say McNeese.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he look for other kids from McNeese who are familiar with that player? Like, it's like,
yeah,
they pick one guy from, you know, that, you know, however they scout.
Yeah.
But would it behoove you to look at maybe bringing two or three guys that are used to each other from the same team, even if they don't fit your scouting model?
Yeah, kind of like you look at Drake and what
exactly
they did, bringing those guys over. That's actually not a bad idea.
I mean, I'm Dana Altman. Next year, I'm going to go get the entire starting five from who's having a good tournament. Who's making a
run?
Well, McNeese is that guy's going to take them.
Yeah, McNeese, or you take a team like Drake, or maybe someone from Xavier, yeah, Marquette, someone
Troy's
like that.
Troy's going to beat Kentucky, and the entire starting five from Troy is going to be at Oregon next
Troy.
Year.
Go throw a bunch of money at him and say, come on down.
That's interesting. All right, well, go Will Wade. He probably is still a douche. I'm reading up on what he did at LSU, just to remind myself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the worst thing ever, but he was under federal investigation.
Exactly.
So
he was super defiant. He is the guy he was the guy that decided that he was done being suspended.
That's right.
He told the school,
I love that.
I'm done. I'm back.
All right. Coming up next, we'll get you caught up on what's going on out here at March. Well, not out here. It's not here. They're not playing the games here. But
that'd be something.
We are watching them. Yeah. We'll get you caught up on what's going on in March Madness. Next, here's Rust.
Live from the Stadium Sports Bar at Allen A Sportsbook, George McCoy and Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents a Fan Madness edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue. Also brought to you by Video Only and by Coors Light. Fan Madness from Allen A on 1080 The Fan.
So I was looking at Will Wade and what he did at LSU. Because he kind of got shamed out of LSU.
Yeah, pretty much.
Then he goes to McNeese. I think he was...
He was at VCU before that, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, two seasons at VCU. He was also at Chattanooga way back in... No, he was at VCU before LSU.
Yeah.
He went to McNeese after...
LSU.
LSU.
Yeah, the LSU one was like... He was good at LSU. He just got... Like I said, he was under like federal indictment. And they were like suspending him while they investigate him. And then like he literally just said, I'm done being suspended. I'm going to go coach.
LSU basketball has such a sordid history to me because...
I think LSU in general does.
Do you remember Lester Earle?
Lester Earle.
In that whole saga. Well, that old coach they used to have was just a cheating bastard.
Yeah.
Well, I forget his name. I can picture his face.
I think LSU just in general has a little bit of a... They got a little wild, wild... I guess it'd be wild, wild south. Wild, wild Cajun.
Dale Brown.
I remember Dale Brown.
Dale Brown. He was pretty good, but he cheated his ass off.
Yeah, well, again, welcome to LSU.
So Wade was discussing an offer to a recruit, which was overheard on an FBI wiretap. He described the payment as a strong-ass offer. And in the transcripts, he's quoted as saying that he was frustrated with the situation. He goes, I'll be honest with you. I'm effing tired of dealing with this thing. Like, I'm just effing sick of dealing with this S. Like, this should not be that effing complicated. The following day, LSU announced that he was indefinitely suspended amid the FBI's probe. Tony Benford was named interim.
Yeah.
It was also reported that Wade agreed to significant modifications in his contract in order to be reinstated. Some of those included forfeiting a $250,000 bonus that he would otherwise have earned. And the contract also allowed LSU to fire Wade for cause if he committed any level one or two violations.
Yeah.
He could also be terminated if the NCAA Infractions Committee issued a formal notice to LSU that Wade was involved in those violations. So then, a year later, numerous alleged recruiting violations by Wade resurfaced. Ongoing investigation headed to an independent panel. And they said, yeah, he's a cheating bastard.
Yeah. But the part that bothered me is that he went like Lance Armstrong. He acted like he was a victim. He would come out and speak to the media and be all like self-righteous and be like, this is ridiculous. And someone would be like, hey, Will, we have you on tape. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's your own words.
And those guys all kind of... Because Sean Miller did the same thing.
Yeah, Sean Miller did the same thing.
Were those guys kind of claiming that they just did nothing wrong, even though they were on tape?
Yes! They were doing that. What are you talking about? Like, it's all misconstrued. And then he was suspended for a while, and he came out and held his own press conference and said, I've decided that I'm reinstating myself. I've been out long enough. This is ridiculous. I'm going to coach my team. And LSU was like, well, this is news to us. And I think that's where the...
That's a baller move.
Yeah, and I think that's where kind of the restructure of LSU was like, dude, all right.
You're going to come back, we have to restructure
you.
Yes. And then he was terminated because they did serve them a notice of allegations.
And they had him dead to rights.
So when he was at McNeese, they actually suspended him 10 games. This was last season. They suspended him 10 games. He got a two-year show cause.
Yes.
But I don't... He has a two-year show cause, so how the hell is he taking the NC State job?
I don't know. This is...
What the hell is happening?
This is why I don't mind that you're a sleaze. Like, I don't mind that you're recruiting violations and all that, because now it's all antiquated anyways. There's no authority. You can do whatever the hell you want. Just don't be Lance Armstrong's about it. Don't sit there and try to pretend that you're, like, sweet and innocent. Remember when Oregon did the independent investigation and they were shocked to find more compliance than they realized?
Mm.
That's a real thing, by the way. Remember there was that player, it was during the same time, that FBI sting, and it was a player out of Louisville. I forget who it was, but there was a player that Oregon was recruiting, and they had paid the dad, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever. And seemingly, again, Oregon was dead to rights and nothing ever happened. But Oregon did an independent, quote, independent investigation. And when it came out, I think it was their AD that said, I was surprised to find in our investigation of ourselves, not only were we compliant, we were more compliant than I ever realized. And I just, That stuff blows my mind. Rob, I want you to know that I was doing my taxes this year. I did a deep self-audit. And not only did I find that my taxes were in order, but I'm telling you, my integrity, way better than I even thought. I run the squeakiest clean program ever. That's the stuff that just drives me wild. And it just, like, the Will Wades of the world, that's just, it leaves a little film on my skin.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, here at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at A&A, we are going to tell you how the morning round of March Madness went. And I must say, it wasn't all that exciting. I mean, some of it was.
Well, but
not all of it.
The North Carolina game came down to a little something.
Well, there was another good, bad game.
Yes.
There's a lot of good, bad games in the NCAA tournament.
It's a valid point.
So we'll get to that next on The Fan.
Live from the Stadium Sports Bar at A&A Sportsbook, George McCoy and Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents a Fan Madness edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Sue. Also brought to you by Video Only and by Coors Light. Fan Madness from A&A on 1080 The Fan.
Well, it's not really madness yet today, but...
No, it's more of like a...
You know.
Yeah. What's
like coming.
What's a toned down version of madness?
I don't know. I was just trying to.
Silliness. Mild.
Slightly
it's a mild
irritable.
Flare up.
Yeah. Mild shenanigans.
What did you say, Rust? Irritable?
Slightly irritable.
Yeah.
That's right. Something like that.
Well, if you're just getting in your hot rod and you want to know what's going on, a lot of blowouts. Maryland is only up 32 right now on Grand Canyon.
Yeah. So
the Terps look good.
There's a chance.
Duke won only by 34. I don't even know if they covered the spread. Did they?
I think it was 28.
They covered the spread?
That's a cover. They actually had the spread covered in the first half, by the way.
They beat Mount St. Mary's 93-49.
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg is fine.
Yeah, it turns out. Yeah, it was 54-28 at the half.
Hmm. Alabama struggled a little bit. They're a two seed. Robert Morris gave them all they could handle, 90-81.
Yeah, that was like a 3-point game at the half, and they hung around, basically to the very end.
Iowa State beat Lipscomb, 82-55.
Yeah. And then I don't know if it was an upset because I actually think they were favored in it, but that was the Colorado State game.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's an upset.
No, because
even though they're a 12,
they
beat Memphis 78-70.
But they were
favored in the game.
Favored.
Unbelievable. Yeah, we talked about this earlier in the week that if the lower seed is favored, take the lower seed.
Yeah,
there's a reason why they're favored.
Yep.
And Colorado, I tell you what, Penny Hardaway might be the worst coach in this tournament.
Three in a row, one and done.
Dude,
thanks for coming.
Horrible. That game right there was one of the biggest coaching mismatches. Because that Medved guy from Colorado State, he's probably going to go to Minnesota and be the coach there because he went to Minnesota. He is a hell of a coach.
And Penny can recruit. But
yeah.
Remember, it was a couple years ago that everyone thought that he was going to take the college world by storm. But
no.
He's terrible.
Coach.
Well, he's probably got the Clyde Drexler thing where you rely on the name and everything. But, you know, you actually don't want to put in the work.
Then you got Ole Miss beating North Carolina 71-64. Ole Miss was up by as many as 20. So Carolina, our Tar Heels are out.
But that came down to the wire. That was a 2-point game like a minute and a half left. And some scrappy white guy in a headband for Ole Miss knocked down a three. Then ended up kind of being the dagger. And then it turned into a free throw game. And North Carolina couldn't do anything.
Yeah, that's Padula.
Yeah.
And they, you know, Ole Miss is interesting. Their offense kind of sucks. But Chris Beard is their coach, and Chris Beard is a hell of a coach.
He was the guy at Texas that ended up getting canned because he was smacking around his wife.
He took Texas Tech almost to a national championship.
And that led to the Texas job, and then he got dismissed from that.
Yeah, Texas Tech with Chris Beard lost to Virginia in the final. Yeah. I think that game went to overtime. So Chris Beard almost won a national championship. Anyway, he has resurfaced at Ole Miss. He's got a pretty good team because that is one of the most experienced teams in all of the country. They're not the most dynamic offensively, but they can play defense, they can turn you over, and he's a good coach. So watch out for Ole Miss. They're a 6 seed. They beat North Carolina today because Carolina was red hot.
Yeah.
And they took care of them pretty handily, actually. You're right, it was a close game late, but Ole Miss blew them out for most of that game.
It was 44-26 at the half, and then it really wasn't until deep into that second half that Carolina kind of went on a run and closed it and got within a few.
And then the other two finals, St. Mary's beat Vanderbilt in the ugliest game so far of the tournament, 59-56.
Think about when St. Mary's played Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference Final, which was the ugliest game I've ever seen. It was very similar to that. It was
not pretty.
It was a lot of bad offense.
So St. Mary's, as we mentioned earlier, I want to repeat this. St. Mary's went 0 for 16 from 3 against Gonzaga in the West Coast Final,
yeah.
West Coast Tournament Final. They started this game 2 of 17 from 3.
Red hot.
If you do the math, that is 2 for 33 from 3. To their credit, they made 5 of their last 8, and they came back from 12 down and beat Vanderbilt. So St. Mary's moves on to play Alabama in the second round.
And as you mentioned, Alabama struggled a little bit in their first round game.
Whoa. Somebody's smoking some dube.
Yeah, we got a...
There's some dupe going on out here.
Stickiest of the icky. And then it was a pretty good game. I watched this one at the gym, but Baylor-Mississippi State was a good game. And
another bad good game.
Yeah, and Mississippi State had a couple looks at the end to try to tie that game with some threes and couldn't knock it down.
I don't think either of those teams is worth a darn. Worth a damn. Mississippi State sucks.
It certainly was. That was the definition of it. It was a close game
and
back
Baylor
and forth.
Baylor could barely beat them.
It was a bad.
So if you're thinking bad good game. If you're thinking Baylor is like some sort of upstart, because they did win the title like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yep.
And they have a good coach, but if you think they're going to beat Duke, I think you're insane. No,
Duke is going to.
I don't know what the spread is, but.
Duke is going to drill Baylor.
I don't know that they drill them. I mean, Baylor's got good talent.
It's 12 and a half,
It's 12
way.
And a half, yeah.
That's what.
I mean, I don't know about the line, but Baylor does not have it.
Just letting you know. Vegas thinks that is not going to be a competitive
game. Duke's favored by 15 over everybody. Yeah. Like, they're unbelievable.
They're
the only ACC team left.
Yeah, everyone in the ACC has bowed out but them, and we talked about it. Since they started keeping track of this, they went back whatever it was, you know, 20-something years. 7 teams going into the NCAA tournament have been top 5 adjusted offense and defensive efficiency. 7. 6 have won national titles. 7 have played for national championships. So every team that fits that mold has at least played for a national title, and there's one team this year that is top 5 in both, and that would be Duke. And Cooper Flagg is just fine.
And to quote a very prominent Portland radio host, ignore that information at your own peril.
I don't know why. Like, why unless it's just a spite pick, and I get it, because screw Duke, why wouldn't you look at that and be like, I think that's probably a strong indicator that Duke's gonna go pretty far.
For some people, it would just be that Duke's just juiced to the gills, right? It's like everybody's betting on Duke.
Yeah.
So the number is not going to be the value that you would want.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, if they make it, you win the bet. If they don't, you don't. Yeah. So, I mean, we get a little caught up in value. If you think it's a good bet,
just bet it.
Bet it.
Yeah. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes you look at it and you're like, well, like you said, the value of it. But there is value in betting on a team that has it's a historical outlier. Like when 7 teams have done it and they've all 7 have gotten there, you're going to be the like, wow, this is the team. And by the way, it's not as if you look at a team like Duke and maybe you didn't see that they're that good. It's like, well, the numbers lie a little bit because Duke passes the eye test and they have the metrics to back it up.
But they are the only ACC team left.
Yeah.
And the ACC kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at the Duke bracket, so they'll get Baylor next.
Yeah.
May get some friction, but.
And then you're getting some form of Oregon,
Arizona, and then maybe a BYU, Wisconsin, Alabama type team. I think they're in the Final Four.
Look, it's I'm not going to say
who beats them.
No,
in that bracket.
Not in that bracket.
Not in that bracket.
I feel like that is.
I think Alabama could get super hot. Alabama plays at pace, and I could see Alabama get hot, you know, in one of those games. But Duke will be favored in every game
by significant. That will not be.
I tell you what,
there won't be a spread within 8 points in that bracket.
I tell you what,
you tell me.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Tell me right now.
Duke Houston in the Final Four, injected into my veins. Seriously,
I'd take that
because they played last year, and Duke knocked them out. I don't know if you remember that game. Barely beat him. Yeah, and I think one of the Houston kids got hurt. But Houston is better offensively this year. They still have that mean defense.
Oh, God. They play so physical.
Great. That would be – I am jonesing for that. Now, Houston's got to beat Gonzaga. So here are – well, actually, when we come back, I'll tell you what the second-round matchups are.
My buddy is a big Gonzaga guy. He went to school there.
What does he feel about Houston?
He's already prepared himself. Yeah. He knows. He knows what's coming.
That, you know, I could see Gonzaga beating them. I could also see Houston beating them by 30.
He is fully prepared for, I can't say the analogy that he used for what's coming down the road for Gonzaga.
Is it dirty?
It's dirty.
Is he a perv?
Well, actually, yeah, I would say he's a perv, but yeah.
What's the analogy?
There's a bad violation coming at the hands of the Houston Cougars.
Raw.
Yes.
No lube.
Yes.
Type of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, could happen. I don't know. Yeah. The spread's only 5, though. Yeah. Spread's only 5. Yeah. The odds makers aren't dumb.
I think he's taking Houston.
All right. We'll get you teed up for the weekend's games, at least the ones that we know, coming up next on The Fan.